Matthew 28, verse 1. Now after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. Verse 2, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and an angel of the Lord descended from heaven. How many angels? How many angels? I mean, there's several. You're going to find out in the story that there's several angels hanging around here. But one angel comes down, an angel of the Lord, and he descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. I like that. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. I've said this before, I'll repeat it. In heaven, it appears that the favorite color of fabric is white. Amen? His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. And the guards, now remember, the wimpy Pharisees and Sadducees asked Pilate to set a guard over the tomb. So you know these were big, burly men. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men over one angel. Remember, Jesus said he could call 12 legions of angels? That's 144,000. 144,000 angels would have destroyed the earth or would have wiped out everybody on mankind. But God sent Jesus not to destroy men's lives, but to save men's lives. And the guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. See, sinful natural man can never stand in the presence of the spiritual glory of God and all that God represents. Right? Verse 5, but the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid. Say that, everybody.
Do not be afraid.
Say it again.
Never
in our lifetimes, never since I've been alive on this earth, I'll be 64 in June, have we had more reason to be afraid. If you didn't know the Lord, if you didn't know Jesus, you should be afraid because the devil's gone wild. But Jesus is greater than the devil, and he's in his church. And the angel answered and said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come see the place where the Lord lay. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you that it's written down and we can read it and study it and know it. Now I'm going to go to a place that I bet very few ministers are going to this Easter morning. I'm going to go to Luke chapter 3. How many of you in high school had to, or college or somewhere, had to read about Julius Caesar? A tu, Brute? And then the classic line out of that play or whatever that thing's called was, the fault is not in the stars, but in ourselves. So anyway, Julius Caesar is a person of history. He really was assassinated. And the Bible tells us that in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, Tiberius Caesar was a real person. Tiberius Caesar was a person of history. So the Apostle Luke, the writer of this gospel, wasn't trying to make something up when he put in his gospel that Jesus started his ministry in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar. Now some of y'all are thinking, that doesn't cause goosebumps. It should. Because this is not Star Wars we're talking about. This isn't a galaxy far, far away a long time ago. 2,000 years ago, God was made flesh and dwelt among us. And John said, we beheld his glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ, and I'm preaching, and I know you guys will understand this. We're teaching this morning not just to the folks that are here on Easter Sunday, but I'm sharing this with people that may accidentally have the radio on 92.3, thinking they're going to hear Waylon Jennings or Willie Nelson singing, what was that song? On the Road Again. Or Put Another Log on the Fire. Or Hank Williams Jr., all my rowdy friends have settled down. But you're not getting that. You're getting some minister telling you that Jesus Christ is a real person of history. And you can ignore him, but you can't eradicate him because he really did come, and he really did live, and he really did die, and he really did be raised from the dead. I'm not going to read the rest of it. You can find out that there really was a guy named Pontius Pilate. Well, some of y'all like this. There really was a guy named Pontius Pilate, the governor of Judea. Herod, there's all kinds of Herods in the Gospels. This is one of the evil ones. Herod, they're all evil. By the way, never get tempted to name any of your kids Herod. Don't do that. In fact, if you got a kid named Herod and you want me to baptize him, I'm not going to do it till you change your name. Herod being Tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, now they had an interesting dynamic. Herod stole his wife. Herod stole his wife, and John the Baptist said that's not the right thing to do, and Herod put him in jail, and then Herod's wife had him beheaded. See, it's all stories in the Bible that are true. This is not made up. His brother Philip, Tetrarch of Iturea, in the regions of Trachonic, that's some kind of medical procedure. He had a trachonotomy. What is that called? Anyway, and then, of course, they had to bring in somebody from Texas. And Licinius, Tetrarch of Abilene. Wonder if he ever ran into George W. Bush and asked him if he ever found those weapons of mass destruction. Rhino. Hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. So why did I put that verse up? Because this isn't made up. Go to 2 Peter. I just gave you the header on these. For we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Verse 17. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. Listen to this. Such a voice came to him from the excellent glory. Remember this? What happened to Peter, James, and John when God showed up? Same thing that happened to those guys at the tomb. They became like dead men. You can't get to heaven, or you don't want to really go to heaven in your natural state until God gives you a glorified body so you can handle it. Now your spirit's already fine, ready to go. Amen? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And this is before he made the ultimate sacrifice and died on that old rugged cross. And right before he died on that old rugged cross, God spoke again in John 12 and said, I've glorified your name and I'll glorify it some more. People thought it thundered. Boy, I tell you, when it comes to God, we're dumb. We're dumb squared. Now, don't take it personal. We're talking in general terms. Some of y'all say, I'm not coming back. He called me dumb. I'm talking about in general terms, the world is dumb when it comes to God. Amen. Think about it. I was watching a show, Tucker Carlson Tonight, and they were talking about that there's cows being killed or stolen or raptured. Wouldn't it be funny if the cows got raptured before we did? But in talking about that, they began to talk about the fact they brought this veterinarian in there, and he talked about how he did an autopsy on a cow. Now, if you're silly enough to believe that the parts of a cow and the parts of a human are connected, then God bless you and God help you. Because we're uniquely and wonderfully made by our Creator. There is one God, and there is one Creator, and He made all things. Can I get an amen? Amen? He made that cow with all his parts, and he made me with all mine. I'm not the same as the cow. I don't know about you. Can I get an amen? This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And then we go to 1 Corinthians 15. Then I'm going to stop and share communion with you. Moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and in which you stand. Verse 2, by which also you are saved, if you hold fast that word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. Verse 3, now watch this now. Watch this. It's so simple. It's amazing how simple God made it, and yet it's so hard for humankind to understand it. For I delivered to you, listen to this very carefully, this is so important. For I delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received. Say that, everybody. For I
delivered to you, first of all, that which I also received.
Do you know I'm the same way? Do you know you're the same way? You know you got to stand up in front of people and say, you know what I know I received from somebody? It didn't come by osmosis. Anybody that's in this room and God came into your bedroom, wrote on the wall of your bedroom with his finger and said, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved, raise your hand, I'll sit down. We want to hear that story. I want to hear it, don't you? Don't you want to hear that story? You know how we all know what we know? We received it from somebody. Precious Jerry here received it. Part of the Jesus movement. The hippie freaks. The dope smokers. The guitar players. But you get it the same way. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received. Here's what he received. What'd somebody tell you? That Christ, are you listening to my radio on the internet? That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. God bless my dear Jewish friends, and I love Jews. I'm pro-Jew. I believe in supporting Israel. But God bless them. Psalm 22, take the time today if you don't have anything else going on. Read Psalm 22 and read Isaiah 53. It's a complete portrayal of what happened, that what we're celebrating. That Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Why don't we just say that? I think it'd be good to clear our lungs with that. Say it. For I to you, first of all, that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, I'm not preaching to you right now. I'm here among saints. If you're a saint, raise your hand. Praise the Lord. That's and a good looking. And none of y'all, by the way, just so you know, none of y'all are dumb. Now, some of the people listening to me are. But none of y'all are. But y'all are saints, right? But now let me tell you something. Let me tell you the stumbling block to this. I'm going to tell you straight up what the stumbling block is. See, you got to recognize you got sin. The worst thing in the world you can ever hear a human being say is that I'm a pretty good person. I'm not near as bad as so-and-so. Let me give the hard truth to you. Compared to God, none of us measure up. There's only been one perfect, sinless person who walked this earth. His name was Jesus of Nazareth, and he went to that cross, and the blood that was spilled was sinless, pure, holy blood. You got some people, God bless them. Listen, let's just develop the theme. Don't tell me people aren't dumb. You got some people in the Philippines that's going and being crucified. Why in the world would you get up there and go through that? Your blood's not worth it. And they're doing it. People's minds are all twisted when it comes to God. Really, it is. It's twisted. And by the way, I can be the same way. If I really studied things out and looked at nature, it would eradicate doubt. Can I get an amen? God bless our children that don't know anything about God, that's been taught that lie of evolution. Hopefully you'll know better than that. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. I'm going to stay on that. He died for our sins according to the scriptures. Verse 4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. You version on the internet that comes on the phone and stuff. Psalm 16:9, you will not allow your Holy One to see corruption. You won't leave me in hell. And then, here's what it doesn't say after this. It says he was buried. It says he died for our sins according to the scriptures. It says he was buried and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And then, don't put it up yet. Verse 5 does not say, and God kept it a secret. And nobody knew about it. No, in verse 5 it says this. And then he was seen by Cephas. You know, there's some fun there with, you know, Peter and Paul had a kind of dynamic relationship. You know that? Paul called him out when he was with the Gentiles because he acted like he was a sanctified Jew. Remember that? So I think that Paul on purpose calls him Cephas. Just my opinion. And that he was seen by Cephas and then by the 12. Watch this, verse 6. After that, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. In other words, the glorified, resurrected Jesus appeared to 500 people at one time. Paul told King Agrippa and the fellow that was with him, I think it was Felix, I think I've got that right, in Acts 26, he said, King Agrippa, you know what I'm talking about, because this thing, the real translation should say, King Agrippa, you know what I'm talking about, because this thing was not done in secret. Jesus bled and died and suffered publicly. Every time I say the word publicly, I always think of the great Billy Graham, because he would always give an invitation and he would say, you must come to the Lord, in that northern Minnesota accent. You must, actually he was from North Carolina, but he lived in Minnesota long enough that he became like y'all. Just like she's become like me. We'll be sitting around talking and all of a sudden I'll hear a y'all. Or, what y'all making me for supper? Nothing. Anyway, he would always say, you must recognize and acknowledge Jesus publicly. Jesus hung on a cross naked. They stripped him naked, beat him, and had that crown of thorns on his head, and put him on that cross publicly. This thing wasn't done in a corner. Wasn't done in secret. And then after he was raised from the dead, he was seen by over 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain to the present. In other words, there are people that could go and verify it. But some have fallen asleep. Paul doesn't even use the term dead. He just says you fall asleep. Because to depart and be with Christ is far better. Can I get an amen? Verse 7. Woo! After that he was seen by James. Not James the apostle, James his half-brother. I'm helping everybody today on the radio and internet. Jesus had half-brothers and sisters. Mary wasn't a virgin her entire life. And Joseph was thankful. Can I get an amen? Thank you, Dr. Kukar, for nodding your head. All the men out there ought to nod their head. She had a bunch of kids. 5 brothers we know of, and they didn't even mention the sisters. But he was seen by James, his half-brother. Then by all the apostles. Verse 8. Then last of all, he was seen by me also. Paul was a humble man. He understood that before he knew Jesus, he persecuted the church and caused trouble for the church. And knowing that kept him solid on his commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ. He never got full of himself. He never thought he was better than anybody else. He humbled himself. Can I get an amen? Amen. Then last of all, he was seen by me also as one born out of due time. So this isn't made up, folks. What we're talking about happened 2,000 years ago. Amen. And what we're talking about that happened 2,000 years ago has just as much relevance now as it had then. Jesus Christ then was the only way to God. Jesus Christ now is the only way to God. I don't care what religion you've hooked yourself up with. What I'm talking about is not a religion. What I'm talking about is a reality where God himself came to the earth. And John tells you in his epistle, it wasn't that we love God, it was that God loved us and sent his son to be the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. The reason why he hadn't come back, the reason why he hadn't put an end to all the misery and all the sin and all the foolishness, although I think that time is getting closer and closer, because we're more wicked in our society than Sodom and Gomorrah ever was. They didn't have surgical equipment back then probably to mutilate their children. Amen. And they're getting nasty about it. They're shooting people for talking bad about them. Do I have some guards out there in my midst? So let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Then we'll have communion, and then we're going to close this out and put Jesus where he belongs. Listen to me now. Listen to what I'm going to say to you. How many of you had an opportunity to see what I posted on Facebook about Good Friday? Why don't we put that verse up, Isaiah 53:6? Why don't we put that up? I want to say something about that, and then we're going to have communion together. By the way, it doesn't hurt my feelings at all when you say you like it, because none of my relatives ever do, hardly. None of them. None of them. Who are you to put something on Facebook? Well, I'm a minister of the gospel. That's who I am. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. Listen to this. Boy, if this don't move you, your mover's broke. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Thank God for Good Friday. Everybody say that. Thank God for Good Friday. And we had enough sense to call it Good Friday, right? Because it is. Because on Good Friday, everything that man did that separated him from God, listen to this very carefully, everything that man did that separated him from God was paid for through the Lord Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. There is no fear in love, see? Everybody knows this. I know by now everybody knows this. You're not looking at somebody that's got this completely down, because if I had this completely down, this is all I would do. True story. It's all I'd do. If I had this completely down, I wouldn't be over there doing taxes from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. I'd be out ministering the gospel to everybody. And God would meet my needs just as thoroughly preaching as he would doing tax returns. But I don't have it down to that degree. And I like to eat food. And the last time I looked, every time I went to Fry's, they expected me to pull out my wallet and pay for it. And if you tell people the message of the gospel and you tell it truly, you're not going to draw a big crowd. People say, oh, you're just making that up. That's just sour grapes. No, no. There's a side of this that the devil's twisted where people would rather go and hear that what they're going through is God caused. And I'm here to tell you that if it's bad, God didn't cause it. And it doesn't mean you necessarily caused it, but somebody down the line caused it. Joe Biden's president because somebody down the line allowed that person to get elected president, if you believe that. I don't believe it. The election was not honorable. It wasn't sincere. It wasn't genuine. If you're going to tell me that Barack Obama got 70 million votes and Joe Biden got 80 million votes, then you can start calling me dumb, because I don't believe it. I'll never believe it. They figured a way to rig it. And if you're listening to this and you get mad about that, I don't care. Because what we got up there now is a person that's controlled by the devil. And you can tell by looking at him. Praise God, I got to get off that. And the problem is everybody that's under him is controlled by the devil. You can't get any level where you can't find nobody. They did not one person from that administration went and honored those six victims that were murdered by that transgendered person. Nobody went down there and honored those victims. They went down there and honored those transgender people. That's the country you live in. And there's some parts of the world of this country where they would shoot me for saying that. And there's people in Sierra Vista that feel that way. But greater is he that's in me, and greater is Donnie's protection than he that's in the world. No, I'm telling you, man. You know where it all started. Let's just go ahead and end this. It all started when we allowed the homosexual community to marry each other. That's the slippery slope. The next thing that's coming, write it on a piece of paper. The next thing that's coming is pedophilia, whatever how you say that word. That's the next thing that's coming. nothing's going to be wrong. Because the devil, since the beginning of time, has hated man because God made man in his image. God hates the devil. He can't whip God, never could, never will, never has. But he takes it out on his man that's made in his image. Oh. And we're not a Christian nation anymore. Don't be going around saying, we're a Christian nation. We're not a Christian nation. A Christian nation would never allow that man to be elected president. Never. Never. So thank God for Good Friday. But there's more to it than Good Friday. There's Resurrection Sunday. There's Resurrection Sunday. So let's do communion and then I'll finish up and we'll put Jesus where he belongs. Because I didn't even give you the title of the sermon, Jordan. Put the title of the sermon up. The Risen King of Kings. Say it, everybody. The Risen King of Kings. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord. That's almost exactly what he said in 1 Corinthians 15. So it's okay if you repeat yourself. I never will forget. I'll throw this in humorously. My dear mother, she passed away several years ago. And at the end of her life, she got back right with God. She did. And she absolutely was my biggest fan. Oh, she'd make my brother so mad. He'd come to see her. He'd say, Smitty, you're pretty good at what you do, but nobody's as good as Mark. Y'all are okay, but you're not as good as Mark. That boy preaches the gospel. But I never will forget one time, she called me on the phone. She said, Mark, she said, wasn't that exactly what you preached last week? I said, Mama, let me ask you a question. How many times have you had T-bone steak? She said, well, several times. Which, by the way, she liked chicken better than steak. She liked boiled chicken and everything boiled. God bless her for being weird. If you're not going to fry a potato, don't cook it. She said, didn't I hear that last week? I said, how many times you had steak? She said, more than once. I said, well, sometimes you got to repeat yourself. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed. Again, there's so many things to say, and there's so much truth and richness in every verse of the Holy Living Bible, but there's really nothing you can go to Jesus about and complain about. You can't say you don't know what it's like. Yeah, he does. One of his compadres, one of the people that he chose, one of the people that went out, he commissioned them, and they went out and they healed the sick, they raised the dead, and they cast out devils. One of those fellows betrayed him. You know why he betrayed him? He was jealous of him. You know what the final straw was that caused Judas to betray him? Some woman named, I think it was Mary. Mary was the one who poured the stuff on him. Took this real expensive perfume. I think it cost thousands of dollars in our economy. And she took this real expensive perfume and poured it on his head and on his feet. And he said, oh man, you can't be doing that. You should give that money to the poor. And John exposed him and said he didn't care anything about the poor. He was a thief and he used to take what was in the money box. That's one question I have for the Lord if I have the courage to ask it. Why? Why? And so then he saw that happen and he said, you know, that's enough of this worship of him. I want somebody to worship me. That's what it was. He said, I want somebody to worship me, man. You know I can hit a three-pointer just like that other fella can. I hit just as many home runs. I pass the football just as far. And he has one moment of glory. You'll find it in John's gospel. He has one moment of glory. It says that he comes with a detachment of troops and soldiers and Judas is with them. He has one moment where he's, that's Jesus, go get him. Jesus said it would have been better if you'd have never been born. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus on the same night in which he was betrayed took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. do this in remembrance of me. Verse 25. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant, the new covenant. Everybody say new covenant.
New covenant.
Is something better if it's new? Is something better, is new better than old? Is new better than old? I'll tell you the number one mistake the church has made. I'm talking about real, genuine, sincere Christian people. I'm talking about genuine, sincere Christian ministers. The biggest mistake we've made is we haven't divided the Old Testament and the New Testament. And you can't preach to saints like they're sinners. And you can't preach to sinners like they're saints. You got to figure who you're preaching to. Now, it's kind of tough here because I want to preach to you guys as saints, but I know I got sinners listening. And so you got to have enough knowledge sometimes to say, okay, now, he's not talking about me. I'm not dumb. Amen? This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So let's stand up on our feet. I love how we do this. I like how we make it a communion service. We're going to play a wonderful new song by Phil Wickham. Let's come up and receive the elements. Jesus Christ needs to be the star of the show. Amen. He needs to be the star of the show. Now, he's gifted me to teach the word, and I got to teach it. But he's the one that's doing the real teaching. Amen. He's the one we're going to glorify and honor. Hallelujah to the risen King of Kings. All right, let's go to 1 Corinthians 15. Everybody get it? I'm going to wait for everybody to get there. She got it? If you're listening by radio or internet, we're having communion this morning in honor of the Lord Jesus Christ, the risen King of Kings. For I delivered to you first of all that which I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. According to the Word of God, what you got to do to become a member of the family of God is acknowledge that Jesus died for your sins. So say this with me. Say,
I believe
that Jesus Christ,
died for my sins,
according to the Scriptures. So receive the bread. This grape juice represents the blood, and I'm going to talk about that in a minute. And that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. How many of you believe that Jesus Christ really lived, really died, and really rose again?
Amen.
Yes. Amen. That makes you a Christian. Makes you a believer. So say it with me. Say,
I believe
that Jesus Christ,
really lived,
really died,
and
really rose from the dead. And I confess,
Jesus,
you
are
Lord. Marie, I just want to tell you how grateful we are that you let the Holy Spirit talk to you about reincorporating this back in our church services. Amen. We got away from that, and that's a shame. Let's give this brother right here, I want to acknowledge Al. I want you to know something. This man, and again, I need everybody to hear this, and I don't want anybody to think it's false humility. This man, I can't hold a candle to him. I'm telling you. I want you to hear what I'm saying. And for him to be able to come in here and humble himself and let me teach the word, because he recognizes that I have a teaching gift.
Yes, you do.
He does. He recognizes that, and he submits to the teaching gift. But we're going to give this man opportunities to share the message of the gospel and minister to people. I'm telling you right now, this is no longer going to be just about me. You got that? Everybody understand that? It's not going to be that way. Plus, I need some time off. Every now and then, I need some time off, and I need to be able to trust somebody that loves Jesus. Him and his lovely, beautiful wife are always ministering the gospel to somebody somewhere. And he does it at the hospital every Tuesday for no money.
That's right.
I love that. But we're going to make sure you have money to minister. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
All right, you can be seated. I'm going to finish the sermon. So we left Jesus on the cross, didn't we, in our sermon? Good Friday. The Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. I got some wonderful news for you. He's not on that cross anymore. Now, you got to go through the cross, but you don't stay at the cross. But you go through the cross. You got to see that that Jesus hanging on that cross represented you. He was your substitute. It's a substitutionary work of the Lord Jesus Christ. They took him off the cross, a man by the name of Joseph of Arimathea, a wealthy man, and Nicodemus, the fellow that Jesus preached the greatest sermon probably ever preached in John chapter 3. They came and took him down off the cross, did all the things you do according to Jewish custom, laid him in the tomb, a tomb for the wealthy, exactly how Isaiah said it would be. He was buried with the wealthy. And they put him in that tomb and put, you know, all the garments and stuff they do for you. By the way, it's fascinating. When John and Peter go to the tomb and they look in there and they find out he's not there, it's fascinating that all the stuff that they had him wrapped up in is folded nice and neat. I guarantee you Jesus wasn't a slob. Don't shout me down now. And if that hits you on some level, then go out there and pull those weeds out of that yard. That's all right. Can I get an amen? So where is he? Revelation tells us, watch this now. And this is fascinating because it's different than most people think. Revelation chapter, it's on the lineup, Jordan. And from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn from the dead. Listen to this. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Boys, I don't know. I don't care what all these people think. They may think they're getting away with it, but they're not getting away with it. And I want everybody to hear something now. I pick on the Democrats the most because they're more evil than the Republicans. That's why I pick on them the most. But there's some evil Republicans. Don't shout me down. Anybody that's been up there in that swamp any period of time is dangerous because they've got used to power and they've got used to money. But nobody's going to get away with anything. You don't need to worry about it. Nobody. Now, the good news for the Christian is that we don't stand at the white throne judgment. We stand at the judgment seat of Christ. And we're only going to be judged for how we did while we were here. Al's going to get more rewards than I am, and I'm okay with it. It's all right. But these people that don't acknowledge the Lord Jesus Christ, woe betide, as my grade school teacher used to say, woe betide. And the ruler over the kings of the earth. Listen to this. To him, this is written to the saints now. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. Oh, we got it. Let's say that out loud. Come on. To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. To him who loved me and washed me from my sins. In his own blood. See, it's got to be personal. It's got to be personal. Can't be for the fellow sitting beside of you. It's got to be for you. It's got to be for me. Verse 6. Look at this. And has made us kings and priests. That's who we are. And has made us kings and priests to his God and Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Now watch this. This is fascinating. Verse 7. Behold, he is coming with clouds. That's what the angel told the apostles. He said that same Jesus that went up to heaven is the same one that's coming back. I don't know when it's going to be, but if it's this afternoon, I'll give up the Masters golf tournament. I'm okay. Come on. Amen. Jerry, we won't be able to do our taxes tomorrow, but we'll get over it. Won't we? No big deal. Oh, happy day. When Jesus came to take me away. Behold, he is coming with clouds, and every eye will see him. Listen to this. Even they who pierced him. This is where it's mistaught. Now, again, remember, you got to know how to divide your audience. And, you know, there's a segment of the Christian church, and I'm not in disagreement. There's a segment of the Christian church that says we've already been raptured and we're already up there, and he's coming back now to pronounce judgment on society. And I'm okay with that. I don't have enough biblical knowledge to give you the affirmative completely, but I'm okay with that. But definitely, he's coming back. Even they who pierced him is going to see him. And listen to this. And of course, the new King James uses the word tribes, but we don't operate through tribes anymore, do we? We don't call Canada a tribe, do we? Do we call Canada a tribe? Do we call Mexico a tribe? No, we call them a nation, right? Do we call America a tribe? No, we call it a nation, a country. And all the countries or all the nations of the earth, listen to this, will mourn because of him. God knows everything that's going on. God sees everything. And the only reason why he hasn't pronounced final judgment is because he loves everybody. And he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. And guess who's going to have to tell them that? Me and you. Me and you have to tell them that. And until he comes back, that's our job, to tell the nations that Jesus Christ is Lord. Not the Democratic Party, not the Republican Party, not the Communist Party, not Russia, not Ukraine. Jesus Christ is Lord. It was not easy then. It's not going to be easy now. And I'm not going to lie to you, when I'm not in the pulpit under the unction of the Holy Spirit, sometimes I'm like, man, I think I'm going to keep my mouth shut. Until I hear him talk some of that nonsense, and then I can't help myself. And I forbid anybody out there to drink Bud Light. And anything you got in your closet that's got Nike on it, throw it away. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, God bless you. You don't need to watch that filth anyway. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so, I'm going to say it one more time, and I'm expecting a little greater response. And all the tribes of the earth will mourn because of him. Even so,
amen.
We've already gave an altar call through communion. But if you've listened to this morning by radio or internet, let's go ahead and stand up. I want Revelation 22, verse 20. He who testifies to these things says, surely. See, that book of Revelation was actually written by Jesus. It's a revelation of Jesus Christ. He who testifies of these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Man, the Lord's definition of quick and mine is totally different. Can somebody say amen? Man, his definition of quick is different than mine. People complain about me on the golf course. They say you do everything too fast. Even though I might have won that tournament yesterday, Mr. Big Shot. He who testifies to these things says, surely I am coming quickly. Amen. Here we go. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Say it with me one more time. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Listen, if you're listening by radio or internet, we've already shared communion with you. We've had you say the confession of Jesus dying for your sins and being raised from the dead for your justification. Acknowledge him as Lord. Seek him while he may be found. Today is the acceptable day of salvation. It's not too late as long as you're breathing. Father, we give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Jesus, we thank you so much for what you did. We thank you that you're sitting at the right hand of God, ever living to make intercession for us. And Holy Spirit, we thank you that you've anointed us and blessed us and gifted us to be able to get the job done. It's in the holy and glorious and mighty name of Jesus we pray. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Go out and have a great Easter.